board will come back into session for our 10:30 public hearing. This is from the Surveying Department, discussion of possible action relative to a public hearing to consider a request for abandonment of a 10-foot wide public utility easement and a certificate of merger from the Reed Leasing Group, LLC. Merger consists of merging parcel 1, as shown and delineated on the map, parcel map number 2071 for Norman D. Borth and recorded in book 38 of Maps and Plats. With that, rather than read all this, I'm going to let George take off on this. So, George?
Okay. First thing, I prepared a couple of maps so the board can get an idea of the orientation of where this property is at. I've got some extras here if people want them. If you look at the map, this one, both the Reed parcels are highlighted by the dark black line, and the line they want to abandon, or the line they want to remove by merger and abandon the easements, goes to the middle of the parcel. So that's what they're considering doing. This other one is flown and is a copy of the aerial off the county GIS. It was done in 2008, and it shows the red line around the Reed parcel and right along the side of the pit. On the east side is the property line that they want to abandon the easements on and then merge the property. So basically, they're trying to remove this line. That's what they're trying to do. With that, we have two subjects for consideration. One is abandoning the easements, and any time a person wants to merge their property, if public utility easements have been offered for dedication or dedicate along the property line, we require them to do an abandonment of the easements. And that entails notifying the public utilities and adjoining property owners within 300 feet that we're abandoning that easement. On mergers, you know, basically we hold a public hearing to do the merger, and also we notify the property owners within 300 feet. So I think, you know, on this one, as far as the abandonment goes, we notified the property owners and we notified the public utilities. And I didn't receive any comments back from any of the public utilities, and I believe there's one property owner has concern about this, but I haven't any information on that. So hopefully he's here to discuss it. With that, I believe the board would want to open up the public hearing.
I'd like to...
Are there any more questions?
I'd like to take some... comments from our planning director, Susan Grijalva, first about actions today and any connection to future actions that might be requested.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The property that's under consideration for the merger is the same property that has a pending use permit application, use permit amendment, I should say, to an existing permit for mining on the westerly property. The merger would allow for the project to go to expand into the area to the parcel to the east in the event that that project is approved. It is something that, if the project is approved, would need to be done, but by the same token, if the merger is approved, there is nothing that precludes the county from denying that project request. So it's not... incumbent upon each other. In this respect, the merger is not required, or the merger is not required in order to approve the project, the use permit project. But the reverse is true. If the project is approved, then a merger would be required. So if something were to happen and the project is not approved and the merger is approved, then there's just one big parcel out there.
Now, in talking to one of my constituents via email, I indicated this is somewhat of a ministerial action because this is, we do these quite often, and they're not complicated issues as far as abandoning a public utility easement or approving a certificate of merger. I just wanted to make sure, I wanted you to make your comments for the board's knowledge that this decision is not incumbent and doesn't set any precedent on any future actions or requests that might come before the Planning Commission or the board.
That's correct. And just to clarify, is the permit amendment for the quarry operation, that is a project that goes to the Planning Commission, and it would only come to the Board of Supervisors if the project were project decision were appealed. So it's not something that would automatically come to the board by a matter of process. Whereas the merger doesn't go to the Planning Commission, it comes directly here. And you are correct, Mr. Chairman. Mergers historically have been ministerial, and I don't know that the board would or has ever denied one unless there were an issue with the easement abandonment, because obviously if there were utilities and an easement, then there might be an issue there where you couldn't abandon the easement, or that the utilities might have to be relocated at the expense of the landowner is usually, I believe, how the utilities would respond unless there's something there that can't be removed. But yes, they are mergers are kind of a ministerial matter-of-fact process historically.
Ms. Grijalva, your familiarity with the original use permit for this quarry, is there any language in that existing use permit that that references, you know, what can occur on the parcel or the property? Or I'm looking for phrases such as that might, through the abandonment of this line and the merger of two parcels, grant some greater entitlements just by virtue of those entitlements having been granted to the original parcel, and would sort of de facto allow the expansion out into that area without...
No, it won't. The only thing that would grant any any additional entitlements on the easterly portion of this property, if it were to be merged, would be to grant the use permit amendment request that is currently being processed. In fact, at this point, the property, the Christofferson property is how we refer to it, does not have a permit on it for mining. So it's not like there's a mining permit on the Christofferson parcel that will automatically become part of this. So the
initial use permit identifies the boundaries of where the operations can occur now,
right.
And that doesn't just reference that property line, but some other surveyed boundary or... And you're saying the Christofferson property is what you refer to on the eastern
side.
Portion?
Mm-hmm.
So when that line goes away, how is the Christofferson property differentiated from whatever the first piece of property was?
By virtue of the boundaries for the use permit on the existing, what we call the Borth parcel, the west side, the reclamation plan and the use permit boundaries reflect that property.
Right. They do.
So
they do will, call out boundaries,
yes,
and not just.
Yes, and those don't arbitrarily change.
Okay, that was perfect. Thank you,
Mrs. Grijalva. Sorry, I had a question for you. If the project takes the easterly parcel, is there any egress or ingress for the easterly parcel in Jackson Valley as of now?
When you say the project, are you referring to the mining project? Or
correct. If it moves to the easterly portion of the property, if we do away with the line, mm-hmm. and Reed moves his project more easterly than it is now, is there any ingress or egress on the Jackson Valley Road?
Hate to get into what's a project that's proposed that's not on the agenda. But I can answer that question just to say that there isn't one proposed. There is not one requested. No, there.
He just asked if there was any existing.
Existing or proposed?
Existing.
Oh, no, there is no existing access to the west, to the easterly parcel off of Jackson Valley Road.
Jackson Valley.
No, the access to that parcel is off of Highway 88.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you. George, on that, the abandonment of the public utility easement, did any of the utilities need to concur with that?
No, they didn't. We received nothing from any of the utilities either, for or against it. And usually what happens when we notify them, if they have some facilities or something in, you know, the easement area to be abandoned, they'll let us know fairly quickly. And I think we saw that a couple weeks ago when Volcano, you know, said they weren't sure, but they went ahead and sent us a letter saying they didn't object to it. This one, we've heard nothing from, you know.
Thank you. Any other questions, board members? All right, at this time, we'll open the public hearing and ask for comment. Morning.
Morning, Chairman Forster, members of the board. My name is Carrie Watt. I'm representing the Reed Leasing Group. I'll be happy to answer any additional questions, but just to reiterate, I understand there's probably some concern among the board members regarding the proposed expansion of our Jackson Valley Quarry into this eastern parcel. And just to reiterate what Ms. Grijalva did say, our permit currently, our current mining permit only applies to what we would refer to as the western parcel or the Borth parcel. By both the county's use permit and by our reclamation plan approved by the state, we could not expand into that eastern parcel even if the parcel line does go away. So we are prohibited from moving farther east until the county approves that use permit and the board also, the state also approves our reclamation plan. The public utility easement, as I understand it from the survey department, it was pretty typical for the county to request and require recordation of a public utility easement when parcels were subdivided in the past. There are no utilities in that easement, and we do need to go ahead and abandon that easement in order for us to continue to mine to the east. We would not be able to actually mine in that utility easement because it's a utility easement, so we are requesting abandonment of that. And I think also as far as Supervisor Novelli's question, currently there's no access to the eastern parcel from Jackson Valley Road. The only access is from State Route 88, and the only access to the quarry is from Jackson Valley Road, and there will be no change to that. There will only be one access to the quarry area, and that will be from the existing access point. Are there any other questions that I can answer?
You have, and I don't want to stray too far into a future agenda item for the Planning Commission, but in looking at the current line, the property line that you wish to merge, get rid of that line and merge the two parcels, I'm looking at the big map, and it shows the formation. Do you have any idea approximately how much of the other property would be able to be mined in the future?
Well, our hope is that we'll be able to mine a good deal of that, and I think probably the Planning Commission will see that as this item gets brought before the Planning Commission on May 14th.
I better not go any further. I see our County Council grabbing the mic. So. I just my question was basically just the need for the certificate of merger, and you can't see under the ground, so that question is going to have to wait until later.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No. Nope. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Any other public comments?
Frank Costa again. The only thing I would say as far as access, the main access to that is on 88. There is a gate. I don't know if you'd call it access or not. There is a gate with a culvert, but it's a cattle gate and a wire gate, Portuguese gate, I think. that is on Jackson Valley Road. Now, I have no idea if that means anything as far as access, but there is an old, it's been there for forever.
Yeah. It's just an old property, right?
They do put cattle. Yeah, it's right next to there. They do put cattle through that gate in and out, you know, trailers and truck. But as far as an access road, I don't know if that's what you call an access road or not. But
sometimes you call it an ag encroachment.
It's just an old wire gate, and there's a trough there because the Jackson Valley line runs up to a hill there. So, but
unfortunately, even with turn pockets, that's probably not a very good spot for trucks to.
It's a pickup, maybe. But anyhow, there is a gate there. I don't know if it meant anything or not. So. Yeah.
Thank you, Frank. Any other public comment? Morning, Sharon.
Board members, Sharon May. I live two parcels over from the quarry, so they are expanding, if they expand into this property towards me, easterly, which, of course, I'm opposed to. I'm not opposed to them where they are, and I would like to know how much longer they can stay on the property and mine it where they are, how much more is there. I basically see this as sort of a cart before the horse trying to get an expansion to mine on the next piece of property without actually going through the process and getting approval to mine on that property. As once the line is moved, do they have to do a whole no EIR if they want to go on that piece, or is that part of what's already going on in planning?
Now, unfortunately, some of those questions are going to have to be answered in the next go-round, but that was my question to Ms. Grijalva. Is approval of this today putting the cart before the horse? And I think she indicated to me that it is not.
So
that one action is not. It does not indicate that the next action will be approved or disapproved.
Okay. So when they come before you or the Planning Commission to get approval to mine on this second piece of property, the Christofferson piece, if that gets denied and they've already merged the two pieces of property, then would they have to come back again and unmerge to sell? Or
they would have to. I believe they'd have to apply for a parcel map,
apply for parcel
and redivide
split,
the land.
That's correct. They would have to go back through the land division process. It wouldn't be an automatic thing. It would be the land division process to recreate the parcel. If this merger is approved, it becomes one parcel. It does not automatically extend the use permit for mining onto the additional property because that boundary still, the use permit boundary remains along the current property line unless and until the Planning Commission and or the board, somebody here at the county makes that decision to allow them to move into the eastern property line. We have mining operations on large parcels where they're only permitted onto a portion of that property. So that would basically be the case here, as you'd have a larger piece of property with a mining permit on a portion of it in the event that the permit to expand into the Christofferson parcel is not approved.
Mr. Grijalva, just a curious question. Could they abandon this PUE, public utility easement, and not merge the property?
They could abandon the PUE and not merge the property, but there are setbacks from property lines for excavations.
Okay.
So they both need to be done.
Okay.
In order to...
I'm just curious.
Yeah. To
for what they need to do.
Yeah. And same thing as like if you wanted to build over a property line. You would have to abandon the easement, and you would have to remove the property line in order to build a structure on the surface.
Even though they own both parcels, it's
no, they
used
own both parcels,
separate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's, you know, we run into that issue sometimes with people who will buy two or three lots in a subdivision, and they forget that they bought two or three lots, and they put the house where they wanted. And they find out later that they've put the house over a property line, and then they have to merge the properties because, you know, they've compromised that property line. So yes, this
Thank
would
you.
Affect things on the surface as well as any kind of excavations.
Stay right there, Susan.
Yeah, I have one question. I don't know if it's for Susan or for George, and it's for my own education. Because we have pre-existing here or existing now two parcels, and the proposal is to merge one. Does that scenario allow for a certificate of merger to be applied for later and granted without the parcel map process because it was a pre-existing parcel and dates back to certificates?
I think you meant certificate of compliance.
Certificate of compliance. I did mean that. Not certificate of merger.
That's an answer for George to answer, but I'll answer for him. No, it is not. A merger effectively merges this into one parcel. It is one parcel legally, and it cannot be recreated without going through the parcel map process. Cannot get a certificate of compliance. Undid it.
Basically, it's now one parcel, period.
It would
period.
Be if the merger were approved. It would become a 156-some-odd-acre parcel.
I think that makes some neighbors happy.
But on the issue of the cart before the horse, the reason I told Sharon Bell that this seemed to me to be a ministerial action is because we approve these pretty often, and I don't think we've maybe one time we might have had an issue, and that was more just on confusion from the people that were doing the certificate of merger. So
it's very seldom that somebody wants to say, well, I have two parcels now, but I only want to have one. You know, I mean, parcels are a
big advantage. We're not granting any special entitlements by doing this, and this won't, should not, it will not factor into the decision of the Planning Commission members, correct?
No. They don't really even know about this, I guess you could say, in some respects. I mean,
a question for you, Susan. As they're use permit currently stands, they can only go up within a certain distance of that current property line right now, correct? And if they merge, would they still be at that longitude, latitude, for lack of a better word?
If they merge and there is no expansion approved, or until the expansion is approved, whichever may occur,
correct.
They would, yes, they would have to, well, they could.
Same thing I asked, and you've said they have to stay within the boundaries.
Well, they have to stay within the boundaries of the permit, but she said, and that's where these are little nuances here. Yeah. I'm sorry, and I know I get nitpicky sometimes, and it may not seem like it's important. The current permit doesn't require them to stay back from the property line. County code, from a stability standpoint, you have to stay back from a property line because you can't compromise the neighbor's property.
Okay. So if it merges, then they could go up to the property line.
Yeah, a little closer, possibly.
A few feet.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Possibly. So, I mean, we're talking maybe 10 feet, 15 feet closer than what they can go now.
Okay.
They'd have to speak to how close they are able to go to the existing property line because there's a 10-foot easement. They have to stay out of that. So... it could maybe only gaining them 10 feet, but I don't know that that's gaining them a whole lot. But they can't go across the current property line under the current use permit. Okay.
I think you'd be better off, Sharon, looking at this, taking this map and trying to get something done with that because that looks strangely like a mountain lion with one ear that's been taken off. So. Reference to our previous agenda item.
Looks more like a bear.
You can come hunt for that mountain lion. We have a dead deer on our property. It was probably one of those.
All right. Anything else, Sharon? Thank you. Any other public comments? Hearing none, board members?
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Been moved by Supervisor...
Chairman Forrester,
Supervisor Novelli to
County Clinton. Council has a change to the resolution for the merger, and I'd like to get it on the record, and we'll fix it. It's just basically a typo. The certificate of merger refers to 17.96, I believe, .040. I'm sorry, the resolution of the board.
It refers to 9.5 in my packet.
Okay. It should be 9.4. 17.94.040.
Yeah. And Greg, that doesn't make any difference whether we're in approving this today.
No, I don't. It's there is no 17.95 in our county code, so it's just a.
Okay, so under motion by Supervisor Netto and second by Supervisor Novelli to close the public hearing. That all you had, George?
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries 4-0-1. And under action?
I make a motion that grant the request for abandonment of a public utility easement and also approve resolution adopting the certificate of merger between the two parcels.
And with the changes to
two resolutions, certificate of merger and the abandonment of public utility easement.
And with it, and that's you can put your motion that changes that resolution.
And changes to the resolution as requested.
I'll second that.
Moved by Supervisor Plas, second by Supervisor Onetto to approve the resolution for the abandonment of public utility easement and for issuing a certificate of merger to the Reed Leasing Group. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries 4-0-1. Thank you, George. Thank you, Susan. I'm going to go back to our agenda item number 10, which is approval of the minutes of March 26th.
You know, I have a slight chair on there, Mr. Vice Chairman. I mean, Chairman.
Yeah.
There was a little typo there. They had you down as Vice Chairman, so I'd like to reflect that on the. And then say you're actually chairman, and Liz Boitano is vice chairman.
I already talked to our board clerk. She doesn't do that very often. But all right, so is that a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve the minutes with minor changes, yeah. Grammatical changes.
Moved by Supervisor Netto, second by Supervisor Novelli to approve the minutes of March 26, 13, with, I wouldn't call that a minor change.
Well, I already noted that change. I'm talking about other changes that are minor, not that one.
Okay, very good. And correcting the chairman's spelling of his name in one location. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 4-0-1. Now on to our last addenda. The California State Association of Counties discussion of possible action relative to approval of the chairman's signature on a letter of opposition relative to sequestration of payments to states under the Secure Rural Schools Program. This item was just sent to us by California State Association of Counties. They have written a letter, and actually that letter has been co-signed by a number of other organizations, the RCRC, California State Association of Counties, Small School Districts Association, and the California School Boards Association. Expressing concern, this has to do with the Secure Rural Schools payments that come to counties, and this all has to do with the forest receipts that we no longer get, so these payments are made in reparation for not getting those timber harvest receipts. The monies go into Title 1, 2, and 3 of different programs. Title II is all federal projects on national forest ground. I did speak to John Hoffman. He is on a trip to see his grandson play lacrosse in college, so he could not make it, but he did indicate by email that he supports the action of asking them not to include the SRS payments in the sequestration that they were initially funded in June of 2012 because of lack of action by Congress and because of administrative changes that the Forest Service made. This was not brought up for a vote until February. Because of that, it fell into the sequestration. And he did say that if the sequestration occurs, he would sure encourage that it comes out of Title II, not out of the portion that goes to schools and roads. But it'll affect the whole pot, and governor will make the final decision, I guess, on where these funds come out of. We need a letter authorized to go to Chief Tidwell with the Forest Service and to Governor Brown and CC to RCRC and CSAC on this issue, and it wouldn't hurt if it went to our state legislators also. Okay. Yeah, just further discussion.
I guess I would agree with Mr. Hoffman's comments. I would hope that the letter state that we exercise our option or request the option be exercised that the sequestered amount be paid from Title II funds rather than Title I and III. I'm not in favor of 2012 monies being exposed to sequestration just because they showed up late as a result of the deficiencies of the federal government in the first place. But if in the future the amounts needed to be reduced for budget balancing and so forth, I'm not all that opposed to the reduction in these amounts. I'd like to see our schools teaching economics a little more than climate change as well, and maybe they'd figure it out.
So the other problem, as they indicated in their letter, is from Karen Keene, is that this from CSAC is this falls right on reauthorization of the SRS payments too, so presents just a convenient nuisance while you're trying to get reauthorization of SRS payments to have the issue of sequestration come up.
I was told by Congressman McClintock's aide when she was here at the last meeting that the congressman is seeking to sponsor a bill which might very well pass the House but likely not to pass the Senate that would request that Forest Service funding be fixed to the value of resources harvested and produced off of federal lands as it used to be in the past. He's actually operating off of a graph of their budget expenditures and their consistency with the receipts for timber value harvested for the first number of years of their existence that I gave him at one of our meetings at SFAC. So it's
At the last RCRC meeting, they said there is somewhat of a fracture in Congress because California, Oregon, and Washington are the big dogs as far as timber harvest receipts, and some of the other states get a little disjointed in the conversation when the western states take the lead on it and want their fair share of the funds from timber harvest receipts. So that's another issue.
All right, they're just maybe a little jealous because we got the second largest forest in the United States.
With that, if I could get authorization to send a letter under board chairman's signature and include the request that, especially to the governor, that they come out of the any sequestration, if it occurs, comes out of the Title II funding.
And that we, but in general, that we oppose sequestration affecting the 2012 revenues.
Absolutely.
Specifically. Okay, that would be my motion.
I'll second.
Moved by Supervisor Plass, second by Supervisor Novelli to approve the letter with those conditions. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries 4-0-1. With that, the board did complete its closed session discussions, so the board will stand adjourned at this time.